Good morning. Good to be with you all again to get into the Word together. Let's pray and we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, we do thank you with all of our hearts for sending Jesus. And we do ask that what we just sang would be the cry of our heart, our prayer, that we would turn to you and that everything else in our lives would fade into the background, that the concentration of stuff in our hearts and minds about this world would decrease and you would increase. We ask that through the preaching of your word, through the singing of these songs from your word, based on your word, we ask that you would give us eyes and ears more open to see you and hear you in all your glory, and that we would respond with a heart of worship and obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, bad hearing can be a really serious problem. If we don't hear well, we can get into really big trouble. I remember recently I had my music up too loud while I was driving, and you know how much I like music, and I didn't hear the fire truck with its sirens going, coming down the road until it was really close to me, and then I was very ashamed as I said, "Oh, I almost caused an accident by my foolishness, not listening, not hearing well." But hearing is important even when it comes to hearing non-emergency vehicles, especially when we're out walking as pedestrians. Just think about it. If we're on the street and we're walking and a car is coming, careening down the road, and the driver doesn't see us, we can hear them and jump out of the way before we get hit. On the other hand, electric cars with their new battery-powered motors are so quiet that no one can hear them coming, and that can be really dangerous when you don't hear. So what are the car makers doing? They're adding this artificial hum noise. You've probably heard it. Not for anything that's functional to the car, but for the sake of safety, so that people who are not in the car can hear it coming. From a slightly different perspective, I'm trying to teach my children to hear when I'm speaking with them. Anyone ever work on that? Try that? It could be a challenge sometimes. Sometimes my son is so into doing what he's doing that I don't think he even realizes that I'm speaking with him. Of course, that could be frustrating for me, but it could also be dangerous if I'm telling him something like, "Don't go run off into the street, stay close to me, hold my hand." Of course, there's a difference between not hearing and not listening. And it's this second kind of hearing, this listening kind of hearing, that comes up in the Gospels in the New Testament, that Jesus brings up. This morning, as we continue our series in the parables of Jesus, we're going to explore the question, why does Jesus face so much rejection from the people who hear his word? If he really is the Messiah, why do so many people refuse to follow him? Jesus tells us a parable to the effect that it all has to do with how one hears. Those who hear and listen well with right thinking receive Jesus, but those who don't hear well end up rejecting him ultimately. Jesus really is the Messiah. It's just that some people don't listen well and don't understand it. Before we get into the parable, let me share some of its context, which includes lots of examples of bad hearing. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapters 11 and 12, Jesus has been preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, and he's been facing a lot of rejection. In Matthew 11, we hear how people accuse Jesus, get this, of being a glutton and a drunkard. Can you imagine that? Jesus, a glutton and a drunkard? And then they go on to accuse him of being a friend of tax collectors and sinners. That one we've heard more, right? When Jesus heals a demon-possessed man who's blind and mute, some people say, "Can this be the son of David?" But the Pharisees accuse him of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebul, the prince of demons, instead of by the Holy Spirit. Finally, Matthew chapter 12 ends with Jesus saying that his true family is not his biological family, who at that point was standing outside the house that he was teaching in. But he pointed to those around him, his disciples, saying, "This is my true family, the ones who do the will of my Father in heaven." And it is on that very same day that Jesus preaches the parable that we're going to look at. He preaches this parable to explain why it is that he faces so much rejection from people who are hearing his preaching or not hearing his preaching. And of course, the rejection of Jesus was not just a problem back then. We still see so many examples of it today, don't we? We too might be wondering, if Jesus really is the God-sent Savior, why do so few people actually believe in him? Why is our culture increasingly against him? And as we read this parable, we'll see that the problem is that while some people hear Jesus well, others don't. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. First book in the New Testament, first gospel out of the four. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to begin reading at verse 1. Matthew chapter 13, if you can follow along in your own Bibles or in the pew Bibles in front of you, I believe page 818, maybe, if it's the same as mine. Matthew chapter 13. Let's begin reading at verse 1. Please follow along as I read. It says this: "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds," don't forget these crowds, we're going to come back to them, "great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach." Jesus in a boat, crowd on the beach, listening to him teach. Verse 3, "And he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." From the parable, we understand that some people hear Jesus well, but others don't. Hearing well is what makes all the difference in the outcome. Now, how is it that we can conclude something like that from a parable about seeds, some that fail and some that succeed? Well, as verse 18 later tells us, the seed represents the message that Jesus is preaching about the kingdom of God. From the first 12 chapters of Matthew, we understand that the message he is preaching is that the kingdom of God is coming to earth through his ministry. He's preaching this message with the goal that people will repent of their sin, trust in him, and follow him as his disciples. If the seed is the word being preached by Jesus, the sower or the farmer, then the different kinds of soil it lands on must represent the various kinds of ways people hear Jesus. This interpretation is later confirmed in verse 19 by Jesus himself. As we consider what the lesson of the parable might be, we notice that there are four different scenarios with four different results of the seed that is planted. In each scenario, the sower is the same and the seed is the same. The difference in each case is the soil, which we said must be the hearing ability of Jesus' audience. It is this hearing ability that is the whole point of this parable, because it's the one thing that determines whether the seed survives and bears fruit or whether it dies off. This means that Jesus describes for us three different ways that rejecting him looks like with the first three kinds of soil. And then he describes for us what really receiving him looks like with the fourth soil. Jesus concludes the parable saying, "He who has ears, let him hear," which confirms that his whole point is all about hearing him rightly. And it is a call for us all this morning to hear him well and to bear fruit. And what we find in this parable is that some people hear Jesus well, but others don't. So just because a lot of people rejected Jesus then and still do today, it doesn't make him any less Messiah. Jesus' original disciples, if they had doubts about Jesus, should have been relieved by this parable, and so should we as we try to understand why the world and our culture is so increasingly against Christ Jesus. So far, not too hard. But the question is, why is it? Why is it that some people hear Jesus well? What is the cause of their bad hearing? And as you'll see in the next section, this is not an easy question, but one that Jesus thinks is important for us to know about. Jesus tells us the reason that some people don't truly hear is because their hearts have become dull to the truth. Or as other parts of scriptures tell us, people's hearts have been hardened and won't allow the word of God in. Jesus' explanation about this comes in response to a question from his disciples about why he's speaking to the crowds in parables. Let's read what he says in verses 10 through 17. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them.' But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." The reason why people don't hear Jesus well is because their hearts have become dull and unresponsive to the truth. Jesus' disciples ask him why he's speaking to the crowds in parables. They're wondering, "Jesus, why are you veiling the truth, at least somewhat veiling the truth from these people?" That's because some of his parables had the effect of not openly revealing everything the speaker is saying, but revealing things in a more closed kind of way, covered up kind of way. His answer to them in the verses we just read is that it's because they're not hearing well. But then he goes on to explain why they're not hearing well. The very question we're asking this morning, it is because their hearts have become dull to the truth. Jesus explains this dullness and unresponsiveness of the heart by giving us two reasons for it. Two reasons. First, it's God's choice who hears. It's His sovereign choice. And second, it is people's own unwillingness to listen. He covers both of these points. There's God's sovereignty and human responsibility involved here in this text. And before we begin unpacking it, I praise Jesus for His wise and balanced explanation of this difficult topic. Our Lord is infinitely wise. In verses 11 and 12, first we see how God decides who hears well and who doesn't. He has decided that some will hear and some will not. Let me read verse 11 again as you follow along. And He answered them, "To you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given." It might be shocking to our ears that God would hide His truth from some but give it to others. But we have to accept what Jesus says. The passive form, "to you it has been given," means it has been given by God. After all, no one else has the authority, the ultimate authority, to reveal or hide heavenly secrets. And the secrets of the kingdom of heaven refers to the plan of God to send Jesus Christ ahead of time, before the last day, for a first coming, to die for the sins of His people, to save a people for Himself. Now, Old Testament believers knew that the Messiah would come. That was no secret. He would come on the last day for final judgment. This is what we think of as Jesus' second coming. But they did not fully know what we know as Jesus' first coming, which is when He would come to save His people through death on a cross. Now that Jesus the Messiah had come, God was revealing the truth. The wording here is secret, about His first coming. To those whom God had given open ears, they were able to listen to Jesus' teaching and to recognize Him as the Messiah. To those whom God did not give open ears, they failed to recognize Jesus and failed to repent and follow Him. In verse 12, Jesus goes on and explains that those who have the gift of real hearing from God grow in their understanding as He speaks to them in parables, because they will discern the truths in the parables. They have ears to hear, after all. But in the second half of verse 12, Jesus says about those who don't have ears given to them by God that even what He has will be taken away. In other words, these people might have had some sort of superficial interest in Jesus, maybe because of all the buzz surrounding Him, because of His popularity with the crowds. He was the newest sensation in town. But the effect of these parables would be to separate those who had a superficial hearing from those who had a genuine hearing of the gospel. Those who didn't truly believe in Him would be weeded out by the parables. In fact, it's interesting that the parable we were looking at this morning is actually a parable about what parables do. And as we get into the details in a minute, we will see pictured in parable form how, quote, "even what one has will be taken away if they fail to truly believe." Okay, I'll give it away. For instance, the bird comes and eats the seed before it has any chance to grow. The idea that God would reveal Himself to some and to not all is not unique to this passage, nor is it new in the Gospel of Matthew. Just two chapters earlier in Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27, Jesus says something very similar. If anyone wants to turn there, that's Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. I'll give you a moment. Because what Jesus is saying in today's parable comes in this context of Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 27. He prays to the Father in this passage. Jesus is praying to the Father. He's praying about the meaning of his coming to earth. And he says this, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." In other words, the Father and the Son choose to reveal truth and give hearing ability to whom they will. The reality that God chooses whom he will reveal himself to is hard for us to hear, because it takes the power and the authority out of our own hands and gives it to God where it belongs. Well, it takes up the power and authority that we never really even had and ascribes it to him. But it is a really important truth to hear and believe. First, because Jesus tells it to us. And second, because if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ and you're watching the whole world stand up against him, mock him, torture him, and crucify him, it's important for you to know that Jesus hasn't done anything wrong. It's all part of God's plan. Even the rejection that he faces is in God's hands and not something that caught God by surprise. We should expect that many people will reject Jesus, and this should not discourage us or cause doubt in our hearts about him. And so the first reason why people's hearts are dull to the truth is that God has chosen to withhold hearing from them. In effect, God has dulled their hearts. God has dulled their hearts is a better way of putting it. As I mentioned, there's also a second reason for these dull hearts, for these hardened hearts. People have dulled their own hearts. Jesus, in this passage, hold human beings responsible for their dullness of heart. And that's exactly what we find in verses 13 through 15. Look with me in verse 13. Jesus says, "This is why I speak to them in parables, in a semi-veiled way. Because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." And in verse 15 he goes on to say, "For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes, they have closed." You see how they're closing their own eyes? Here, Jesus is saying that just as God's people rejected him at the time of the prophet Isaiah, it's the same now with Jesus teaching them. They are dull and hardened to the preaching of Jesus, and they will not repent, and they will not turn to him wholeheartedly. They have closed their own eyes. They don't want to see or hear the Son of God. And the responsibility and the guilt is on them. It's important to help us see the full picture of what is going on here. You see, some people, you've probably heard, some people get upset at the view that God chooses who will ultimately have good hearing. They get upset. Some of us may have maybe feel this way, have probably argued this, that it's unfair for God to drag people against their will, kicking and screaming into heaven, while not allowing the ones who actually want to come. As you can see, that's not the biblical picture at all. What we see is that those whom God has not chosen don't want to come to him. Also, the fact that people have dulled their hearts and closed their eyes to Jesus is important for us to understand, because it's the reason why so many people reject Jesus. And that's the whole context here. It's not that Jesus fails to give enough proof that he's the Messiah. It's not that Jesus is actually a fraud, a liar, or a lunatic. is that people don't want to repent and follow him. The truth about Jesus for them is an inconvenient truth. In contrast to those with deaf ears and blind eyes, in verses 16 and 17, Jesus recognizes how blessed his disciples are because they have eyes that actually see and ears that actually hear. Jesus answers his disciples' question about why he speaks in parables by explaining that it is because the people have hearts that are dull and hardened to the truth. And he gives two reasons for this hardness of heart. One, because God has dulled their hearts, and two, because they have dulled their own hearts. Yet notice that Jesus does still speak to the crowds, doesn't he? Even though it's in parables, he doesn't just give up on them and walk away, saying, ah, you're not chosen, forget you. No, he keeps speaking to them, he keeps teaching them. And that implies that there are some in the crowd who will hear and understand the parable and join Jesus' disciples. Though the parables hide the truth from those who have hard hearts, it is still the goal of parables to engage the hearts of those who have soft hearts and to bring them into the kingdom through the preaching of those very parables. And this is why Jesus concludes his parable with an invitation. He who has ears, let him hear. So we must ask ourselves where we stand as we hear these parables. Do you have ears to hear? What is your heart like towards Jesus' teaching? In the final section this morning, Jesus takes time to openly explain this very same parable to his disciples. As we look at his explanation, we'll get a sense of what it's like both to hear Jesus rightly and to not hear him rightly. That way we can evaluate better where we stand. What we'll see in verses 18 through 23 is that the call for true believers is to hear well in such a way that we bear fruit. As we hear the word of God, we must receive it in such a way that it produces faith and obedience in us. Please follow along with me as I read Jesus' explanation of the parable. He says this, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. There is a warning here to avoid hearing poorly and instead to hear Jesus well in order that we would bear much fruit. In the first scenario, Jesus explains that the seed which falls on the hard path represents those who don't understand his teaching and immediately reject him. This is not an honest or accidental failure to understand. It's not a lack of knowledge. It is an unwillingness to understand based on the previous section we read about the dullness of hearts. It is a purposeful closing of one's mind to the truth. The result is that even what they have is taken away. The seed falls on the hard pathway, does not get buried under the soil, it's exposed, so the birds, which represent the evil one, quickly come and devour it. In the immediate context, perhaps this represents the Pharisees, who, as we heard earlier, are so quick to accuse Jesus of being demonic. This is a warning to not be closed off to Jesus when you hear about him. If you're here today and have not yet believed in Jesus, this part of the parable is urging you to not be so closed off to Jesus that you don't even give him a chance. Don't presuppose that he's made up. Don't assume that he's telling lies. Hear him out. Give him a chance. Ask him to give you open ears and eyes and a heart that understands. He will in no way turn that request down. In the second scenario, Jesus explains that the seed which falls on rocky ground represents those who are casually following Jesus, but don't have a deep commitment to him, a deep faith commitment. The rocky ground has a shallow layer of soil. Since the layer of soil is so thin, perhaps it heats up faster when the sun comes out, and the seed sprouts quickly. But as the hot summer goes on, it runs out of water, probably because the roots haven't penetrated deep down enough to have more access to more water. The rocks are in the way. So without water, the plant shrivels up and dies. Discipleship doesn't happen here. In the immediate context, this probably represents the large crowds following Jesus. They might be entertained by his miraculous works, asking for signs, wanting to see wonders. They might enjoy hearing his authoritative preaching and be amazed at him. They might be drawn to him by his huge popularity, thinking, everyone's going out to see this guy. I want to go see him too. He's the big thing. But Jesus will soon begin talking about how he is on his way to die on a cross, and that his disciples must be ready to suffer and die with him. And when Jesus begins talking about these things and then does indeed go to the cross, most of these followers will abandon him. In our day as well, if we listen to Jesus only because he is interesting or entertaining, or only because we might get some sort of earthly immediate blessing out of him, then our hearing will not lead to the real fruit of real faith or discipleship. Jesus says that there will be trials and persecution because of him and because of his word. He tells us that people will mock us and hate us for being his followers. He does not promise that we will be healthy and wealthy, as the proponents of the prosperity gospel tell us. He tells us that we will go through hard times, but that he'll be with us. So hearing Jesus well means understanding that he is calling us to trust him and to remain faithful to him through difficult times, and that it will be worth it in the end. This kind of hearing, it is this kind of hearing that will lead to the fruit of faith and obedience. In the third scenario, Jesus explains that the seed which falls among the thorns represents those who give in to the cares and to the anxieties of this world and to the deceitfulness of riches, of money. In the case of the seed, just picture it, it's in competition with the thorn bush over water and nutrients, and the thorn bush wins. The seed gets choked, it dies out. This is not a picture of successful discipleship. Probably represents people like Judas, the disciple of Jesus who was physically with him for his whole ministry, but in his heart he had earthly priorities which ruled over his life. He probably cared more about the Jewish nationalistic cause, and when Jesus did not fulfill his hopes of a free and independent earthly kingdom of Israel, he betrayed Jesus for some silver. Or another example might be the rich young ruler who comes up in this gospel, who fails to trust in Jesus and let go of his wealth. In the same way, there is a competition for loyalty going on in our lives. Will we live to ease our anxieties about this life? Will we live to pursue riches or to be comfortable? Or will we live to bear fruit for Jesus? To hear Jesus well is to recognize that he must be our first priority and to trust that he will provide for our earthly needs. In the fourth and final scenario, Jesus explains that the seed which falls on good soil represents those who hear the word and understand it. It clicks. And this leads to bearing real fruit. This is the only category that represents true Christians because it is the only one which in the end, the seed survives and ends up bearing fruit. Based on the way the word fruit is used throughout the scriptures, we must understand it as obedience to Jesus that is the result of genuine faith in him. We need to have a genuine faith in Jesus, which yields the fruit of obedience to him. And based on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 in this gospel, some examples of obedience might include not staying angry with each other. Not staying angry with each other. Not lusting after a neighbor's wife or husband. Not seeking revenge, but instead loving our enemies. Giving to the needy. Laying up treasures in heaven. Not being anxious for this life, but seeking the kingdom of God first. It's all in there in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. You see, not every Christian will bear the same amount of fruit all at the same time, based on the fact that Jesus mentions three different yields, three different amounts of fruit. I think it was 160 and 30, right? But every Christian will bear fruit because they've really believed in Jesus, and that real faith leads to fruit, must lead, does lead to fruit. We know from the rest of the scriptures that the faith which bears fruit is the one that recognizes that we are sinners saved by God's grace alone. We are all sinners who have given in to the temptations of the evil one at one point or another. At one point, we've all been closed off to Jesus like the first soil. Perhaps at some points, we've been tempted to walk away from Jesus. Maybe some of you have walked away from Jesus, as in the second soil, and he's calling you back today. Some of us have given in to the temptations of focusing on this life, on easing our earthly anxieties and pursuing money like the third soil. It's not that the good soil doesn't face these temptations or never gives in. It's that the people of the good soil, enabled by God's grace, recognize these things as sin before a holy God and then turn to Jesus for mercy. And when we turn to Christ Jesus with our sins, he promises to forgive us, whether it's the first time we're turning to him or the 500th time. And then Jesus helps us to begin overcoming all these temptations that come our way so that we can bear the fruit of obedience to him. He died on the cross to pay the debt that we owe to God for our sin in our place, and then to free us from the bondage of sin and the power of death forever. Those who are the good soil have put their trust in Jesus Christ and now live their lives to please him. Beloved, this is our calling. to hear Jesus' word in such a way that we place our faith in him and obey him. This morning we've seen that some people hear Jesus well, but others don't. They don't truly hear because their hearts have become dull to the truth. Instead, we must hear Jesus well and bear much fruit for his kingdom. You see, how we hear is really important. Not just to hear the car careening around the corner, coming down at us so that we jump out of the way. Hearing well is important for our relationship with God and for eternal life with him. So may God give each of us more and more open ears and open eyes, that we would understand him with our minds, believe him in our hearts, and bear much fruit for his kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you have a good plan. Lord, if it was up to us, we'd be stuck in our sin. Lord, we'd be on our way to judgment. But because of your grace, you sent your son Jesus. And he preached the kingdom message that those who trust in him will be saved. So Lord, we trust in you this morning. Help us trust in you more. And as we go before your table now, help reinforce the gospel truth that you died so that we won't have to. So help us rest in you, Jesus, and live for you every moment, every day. In your name we pray. Amen. This time I'd like to call forward our brother Roger to lead us through the Lord's Supper.